5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
It was gigantic. It was a lot of fun. The Puerto Rican Day Parade, blessed by perfect weather. Hefty, exuberant crowds lining Fifth Avenue from 44th Street all the way up to 86th. Noisy, happy, like the 40 or so of the Puerto Rican Day Parades that I participated in, nearly incident-free, which is an incredible achievement. You consider there are 20,000 people marching, hundreds of thousands. Actually, the NYPD estimate more than 1.5 million. Is that right? You heard 1.5 million?
That's right, yep.
Men, women, and children. That's like a medium-sized city all coming together. Men, women, children wearing everything from traditional Taino Caribbean garb to scanty, sexy, fringy salsa outfits, lining both sides of the avenue, happy, proud, having a great time. Now, my plan was to hook up with my old friend, New York Secretary of State, Tessa Perales, who was supposed to be marching with Governor Andrew Cuomo. I didn't see Governor Cuomo. I think it was a no-show. And maybe because of the bad news that you've been reporting about the unsuccessful search for the people with the great escape. Nothing, right?
10 days, nothing, yeah.
Nothing. They got nothing. Two slick, murderous thugs from the big house in Dannemora. Gone without a trace. I did see briefly march with our pal Ruben Diaz Jr., the charismatic Bronx Borough President. And basically every downstate member of the Assembly, State Senate, they wouldn't miss that photo op. And I customarily swap bodily fluids with thousands of my closest friends.
It's your favorite part, right?
My closest friend. Everybody wants a kiss. And the highlight to me, getting a kind of a informal blessing from His Eminence Timothy Cardinal Dolan, the coolest cardinal we've had in an awfully long time, a prince of the church, who's really a prince of a person. He took the time. He asked me about my dad and about what town my dad was from and about the time back in the 1970s when I was the Grand Marshal. He wasn't in town then. I was the Grand Marshal of the parade. I told him how proud my dad, Cruz Rivera, was, the first Cruz Rivera, with that honor. And that was a bigger thing in my family than the Emmys or any of that fame. It was just being Grand Marshal of the big parade, such a big part of life for the almost 800,000 Puerto Ricans in the city, well over 1 million in the New York metropolitan area. I told the Cardinal how much New York appreciated him, what a terrific cardinal he's been so far, how great his place looks. St. Pat's, have you seen it?
Fantastic.
I mean, all cleaned up. I guess Langone, a bunch of people, not Langone, what's his name? I keep messing up his name. One of the high rollers gave all that money. The St. Patrick's really refurbished. You should go and see it. It's really fabulous. And His Eminence stands out front during all the big ethnic parades, does the meet and greet. I didn't see Senator Schumer. He was definitely there. You know, he never met a camera he didn't like, and I've seen him all over the news. I did meet, for the first time, Senator Kristen Gillibrand.
Huh.
I had never met her, at least not as a senator. She's very pleasant, obviously very pretty. I think, would they hate when I say that?
No, that's all right. You can acknowledge that she's a good-looking woman.
She's done a good job on the issues that mean a lot to her, the epidemic of sex assaults in the military on campus. She does a lot with that. And finally, I always love the image of all those proud Puerto Ricans marching and dancing, all the you know, the tin drums and everything, the salsa music. And they come right past some of the world's most expensive old money elegant housing there on Fifth Avenue. I love that. I love the porta potties on the other side of the street from all of the elegant mansions where you got to have $1 billion to even consider living in a studio. It's the only dose of real life the folks that are living along the Big Avenue ever get. I had to beg off at 70th Street. I usually march all the way to 86th. I had to beg off around 70th Street because we had 50 people coming out of my house at Edgewater for a baby shower for my latest grandchild, my son Cruz, and Lauren's second kid, due sometime around my birthday, early July. Erica threatened that if I was late, she'd kill me. So I had to.
And I believe her.
I totally believe her. So I had to make it home in time to do my abuelo duty. I did. It was a great time. It was fun. The shower was fun. All five of my kids gathered from around the country. Simone came in from Chicago, where she's at Northwestern. She's working there for the summer. Isabella made her even more rare trip out to Edgewater from East 90th Street. I mean, I'll tell you, that's one of the reasons I'm selling part of the compound out at Edgewater. I mean, the kids just have a thing about crossing the river, getting to Jersey. I don't know if she seldom makes that trip. Gabriel and Deb came all the way from Los Angeles. They brought their 9-year-old son, Desi. So fun. It was so fun. Cruz usually lives in Houston, but he's here being a daddy with his 2-year-old son, Jace. I love the kid. We went swimming together. Cruz is getting ready to ship out with the American Maritime Officers Union. He's going to be a seaman finally after all of his college, all of his training. Then it was time to watch a little TV, the NBA Finals, the Game of Thrones. I decided I hate the Game of Thrones. I hate it. I never have watched the show where all the good guys constantly getting tortured or killed. The basketball game was all the good guys
too,
tortured and killed also. So heartbreaking to watch the world's best pro basketball player maybe ever being forced to play the Warriors of Golden State virtually single-handedly. It was heartbreaking. And obviously I'm especially sensitive because Erica's from Cleveland and the city has so much invested, you know, so much of its self-esteem is just totally invested in LeBron taking them to the championship. Would be the first championship in any pro sport since 1964 when they won in football. And that was the days before the National Football League. That's how long it's been. 1964.
50 years.
50 years. Now the Cavs are a really long shot. They're a long shot. Hillary Clinton is the overwhelming favorite. She had a very impressive event on Randall's Island. What was the vibe that you got from Hillary crowding in all those people and making that big speech?
Well, it was a pretty event. I mean, if you looked at the pictures of it, it was a beautiful event. The way they staged it, like any good political event, they had everybody in the right places, the flags waving in the right places, 5,500 people. They packed it in as tightly as they could so there wouldn't be a seat, a person missing. Every different
diverse,
color.
Diverse?
As diverse as you could get.
Did they have that NAACP lady that she went both ways?
They should have.
Black
if they
or white.
Diverse.
They
might as well have her there, too.
She's a walking diversity right there. Goes either way. So, generally speaking, what was your vibe this morning on the news all day with how are people reacting to what you had
well,
to say?
Well, okay, so the pundits, if you go by what they say, they'll talk about how she took this left turn and became much more liberal than she had been at the beginning of her political campaign when she tweeted out that she was running for president. Now she's gone maybe in the direction a little bit of Bernie Sanders. Maybe there's some fear that Bernie Sanders make some inroads.
I heard he was at 35% in New Hampshire in the Democratic primary.
I would believe that.
I mean, he's from Vermont. I mean,
not too far away.
He's from like 30 miles away.
Yeah, so that was one of the vibes. But it was a beautiful day. People were excited who were there. They were on Periscope. You could view it a million different ways. All the networks went live with portions of the speech, the cable networks. So she got a lot of play out of it.
Yeah, I watched it on Fox News just before I left for the Puerto Rican Day, or when I got home from the Puerto Rican Day parade. I guess that was live. What time it was?
It was about 11 or 12 o'clock.
All right. So I definitely saw half of it. I liked what she had to say. Not that I agree with a lot of her position on the issues, but I'll tell you this. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is what I'd love to talk to you about on this this Monday, June the 15th, we are roaring toward the end of spring. I'm so depressed that it's over so fast. But this is what I'd like to talk to you about at 866-ERALDO. I say that Hillary Clinton is going to be awesomely tough to beat. I think that this combination of left-wing income redistribution and women's rights, I see how empowered Erica and the women in my family are by Hillary. My sisters, Erica's mom, you know, they're obviously they generally vote Democratic, but they seem energized by Hillary's candidacy. And I don't want to use the word militant, but aggressively so. It's a kind of a elbow in the ribs to me. It's about time. It's about time. It's about time. And who are you going to vote for? And really give me the business. But I think that this combination, you know, and what the Post had this brilliant, brilliant headline, Hillary Rodham Hood. I have taken on Hillary Robin Hood, Rodham Hood, of course, her middle name, Hillary Rodham Clinton. But Hillary Rodham Hood, I think that whole combination of the left-wing stuff, family leave, you know, obviously a dramatic increase in the minimum wage, equal pay for women, just, you know, women's potential being fully realized, absolute equality across. I think that that kind of stuff, I mean, obviously LGBT liberation and all that, I think that for that, for the Republicans to beat that, I think that they cannot take the social mores in your bedroom position that they have taken. They get blown out. Jeb Bush announced, or is about to announce, I guess, today.
This right? afternoon in Miami.
What time?
I don't know exactly what time, but he's going to be at the largest university in the country. He's at Miami-Dade University is where he's going to give the speech from. And I think it's late this afternoon.
So we'll check exactly when Governor Jeb Bush announces. I you know, I'm kind of swinging back to thinking he may be the only one that has a chance against her, although he's already done and said some things I think were kind of dumb that may undermine his ability to take her on. But this is what I'm saying, and this is what I'd love to hear from you. I say Hillary, tough to beat. That this whole position, vote for me and I'll give you something, that's going to be very hard to counteract with, oh, no, good sense, oh, no, you know, deficits, budget deficits. That's going to be hard to beat. And any Republican, woe unto any Republican who says anything like, you know, reforming Social Security, scaring people, you know. I even think the Obama position, the Obamacare position of the Republicans is going to come back to bite us on the ass. I think that Hillary, tough to beat, impressive start. Unlike almost any of the GOP candidates, at least so far, what do you think? 866 Geraldo, happy Monday at 18 minutes after 10 o'clock.
On America, where if you do your part, you reap the rewards. Where we don't leave anyone out or anyone behind.
All right,
we're
running
to make our economy work for you and for every American.
Okay,
for
didn't
the
need to.
Successful and the struggling, for the innovators and inventors, for those breaking barriers in technology and discovering cures for diseases, for the factory workers and food servers who stand on their feet all day.
All right, there she is. Didn't mean to interrupt the former First Lady, former Senator, former Secretary of State, but there she was. For the food service workers, you know, that's about the minimum wage. You're going on and on, family leave, etc. A very potent message. Remember what Mitt Romney said in that clandestinely taped Florida meeting where he said 47% of the people will never vote for me. Another way of saying it is over 90% of the electorate of the election is already decided. I mean, people face it. I got my buddy Leo. He's never in his life voted for anyone other than a Republican. Would never consider it. Some candidates he likes, some candidates he doesn't like. Most Democrats I know have never voted for a Republican, nor would they ever. So over 90% of the electorate already has decided. Over 40% would never vote for one side or the other. The race will be decided in the middle. That was always Obama's approach and Bill Clinton's approach. Remember Sister Soldier? How he went after the rap star female who was with her militancy and shocked many of his black leadership supporters by his ability and willingness to take on Sister Soldier. There's none of that in Hillary Clinton, at least not so far. Last time she ran, she was the alpha female She wanted to show that she was just as much a bruiser as any of the guys in the race. This time it's way different. This time she's the grandmother in chief. She's embracing the fact that she has to color her hair. She's the oldest, one of the oldest candidates ever, but the youngest female ever. I heard her say that. I thought pretty clever. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, just judging from my wife and associates, my female associates mostly, but some guys, not many, some. I think that she's going to be very, very difficult to beat unless something has traction. All right, now I'm going to take your calls now, and then I'll give you my take, and I'm sure the calls will relate to it on the issues that she is confronting. I'll take them in the order they came into. 866-HERALDO. Here's Robert first on Long Island. Hey, buddy, thanks for calling. Hope you had a good weekend.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I want to make a comment, something that hasn't been talked about too much. It's not getting much traction. But in some polls, especially I just saw a poll in Ohio, Rand Paul is actually head-to-head, beats her by 3 points.
I saw that, 44-41. Rand Paul, he's certainly, I get Rand Paul on the Twitter, and I see he's really making a lot of that one.
And, there's a lot of people out there that really support the liberty, the freedom movement. You got to remember that Hillary Clinton, she supports the foreign wars. She's against medical and recreational use marijuana. And one thing that you've been, I'm surprised, look, I apologize ahead of time if you didn't mention it last week. Last week you were pounding the table about blacks being over-policed in certain areas, which is a valid argument. But I don't know if you mentioned this, but Rand Paul had introduced a bill that's going to be voted on called the REDEEM Act, which would help juveniles, mainly, of course, directed at inner-city blacks. They would be their record.
So, Robert, you're a Rand Paul guy.
100%.
Yeah, so so a lot of my pals. But I don't think he has a chance of getting the nomination.
But if you keep saying it, Geraldo, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, maybe you're right there. Maybe you're right there, Robert. Maybe you're right. But I appreciate the call, and thank you for the Rand Paul reference. I think he is the most interesting Republican in the race, even though Jeb Bush, the most potent Republican in the race, will be announcing formally his candidacy. Have we found out what time? Still have a word.
I think it's 4 o'clock.
I don't think it's 4
because
o'clock.
I see two different times here, but one's at
4
o'clock.
What are the two times?
4 and 3. So
okay. We're definitely not in this show.
No. Definitely. Okay. It's definitely this afternoon.
All right. Definitely this afternoon. All right. So you other callers, hang in. It's all about you now. We're going to talk more about Hillary. Is Hillary so formidable that this is over before it gets started? Or can someone beat her? Rand Paul, as the caller points out, beating her 44-41 in the key state of Ohio. Okay, welcome back. Where's my Jaws music? Imagine swimming with this music playing in your ears. Nothing more terrifying when you're in the water. Erica saw Jaws as a 6-year-old. She never took a bath after that. Huh. All showers.
Did you have to build a pool for her in Puerto Rico because she won't go in the ocean?
That's exactly right. And there are no sharks in Puerto Rico, as far as I know. Anyway, I tell everyone that there are no sharks in Puerto Rico. She wouldn't even wade out to the dinghy. So two shark attacks, Oak Island, North Carolina. I mean, really intense. Two kids, a 14-year-old girl. She grave wounds to her left arm and her leg. And a kid, a 16-year-old kid, loses his left arm. Amazing. 2 miles apart, North Carolina, two shark attacks. And they talk about, it's funny because my daughter's soul is she's such an adorable, compassionate, wonderful little child. Not a little child anymore. She's almost 10 years old. She went off on how horrible it is that sharks are endangered. Ever since Jaws, people have been picking on great whites, and they, save the sharks because now they're, I never felt that same sympathy.
Especially when you read this.
And when you read this, quite extraordinary. All right, we're talking about Hillary. Hillary is presenting a hard left-wing agenda that will definitely appeal and motivate her traditional voting base, and it could be this time. Will the hatred for Hillary motivate the right more than the love of Hillary motivates the left? And she certainly seems to have chosen the former Secretary of State, Senator, and First Lady of the United States, to have chosen that the route that takes the traditional blue states like this one, like New Jersey, to motivate people to turn out in vast numbers to win her the election. But let's start with Billy here. Billy, what's up? What are you thinking about, buddy?
Hey, Geraldo, you're not kidding when you said that Puerto Rican Day Parade was gigantic. I never saw so many fat asses in my life.
Hey. It's just, people have different styles, man. I happen to like larger women. I constantly tell Erica to stop dieting. She gets mad at me. Even hearing my voice saying that right now will get me in trouble. Hi, Gary in Long Island. What's up, buddy?
I'm in Linden, New Jersey.
Linden, okay, sorry.
Well, anyways, listen, I hear what you say, and you're talking about what Hillary's going to do. What is she really going to do? Who's going to foot the bill for all of this stuff that she wants to implement?
That's a good question.
Wants to give everybody raises. Who's going to pay for that?
And family leave.
You know who's going to pay for it? We're going to pay for it. I'm getting screwed by Obamacare still because my boss's the insurance all went up. I'm a single man, no kids. I used to pay $34 a month. Or $34 a week for insurance. Now it's up to like $383 a month for me to be insured. Now my boss don't want to pick it up no more, and he's not giving me a raise because of that. So I'm getting screwed by them, and I'm a low worker term. I make under $70,000 a year. I make over 50, but under 70, and I'm getting screwed. So that's who the buck's going to get passed to. It's going to get passed to me.
All right. I have a slightly different experience with Obamacare, and my son Gabriel. And his son, my grandson, Desi, quite extensive neonatal stuff went on. And they're paying, Gabriel and Deb are your age, I bet, Gary. They're mid-30s, and they pay like $800 a month. They would have been bankrupt if it wasn't for Obamacare. So there's definitely the American people are experiencing a mixed bag when it comes to Obamacare. Healthy young people getting screwed, no doubt about it. No doubt they are paying they are the ones who are paying for, like, my son and daughter-in-law and their child. You know, if you're not sick, insurance sucks. If you're sick, insurance is important. And if you're uninsurable and you get insurance, it's invaluable if you get sick. Here's Mark in Connecticut. What do you think, Mark?
Hi, Geraldo. Always admired your just kind of a breath of fresh air. I've got a kind of a different perspective. I will be supporting Hillary. I'll probably raise money for her. I've always admired her, et cetera. And she will be a formidable candidate. But the reason that she'll be a formidable candidate, in my opinion, is that she's the most qualified. First off,
what a concept. But go ahead, Mark. Excuse the joke, but you're right.
She is the most qualified, and I believe that she will be a uniter. That, you know, that's the disappointment with Obama, is that he has been kind of a divider. And
you don't think she's the most polarizing figure on the public stage today?
Say again?
Don't you think that in some ways Hillary Clinton is the most polarizing figure in the public stage?
Could be, but I think once she's there, she's going to win. I mean, I'm very, very confident she's going to win. I have a lot of friends on the right, and I always say to them, you can't beat her with nobody. You got like 12 buddies, really. Jeb Bush is he's great name recognition, what have you. But, Scott Walker, everybody thinks Scott Walker, walks on water. I mean, nobody even knows him. And the people,
I know Johnny Walker.
Just a joke. Exactly.
Scott Walker is going to be formidable in a different sense. He's the union buster. So if you hate unions, Scott Walker is your man. I just don't think there are enough people.
Well, you said it very well. You've got about 10% of the electorate that is in play. So, it's the people that are going to respond or attract those 10% is the guy that's going to win.
So are you married, Mark? Just curious.
Say again?
Are you married? Do you have daughters?
Yes.
And so how do they feel about this?
I have two stepdaughters. They absolutely adore her. My wife has, you know, strong opinions. She doesn't love her. She's probably a little bit more of a libertarian. She's a new American citizen, by the way. She's a former subject of the Queen of England, but was a newly minted American citizen just 2 years ago. And believe it or not, it's interesting perspective. She doesn't really believe that the world is ready for a woman U.S. president. I completely disagree with her. But in fact, that's why one of the main reasons that Hillary is such a formidable candidate is that, you know, even Republican or independent or moderate Republican women, they're going to fall in love with the whole idea of a woman.
I agree. I got to let you go. Just like they did with the idea of a black man. I mean, the first time around in 2008, there's no doubt that I favored Barack Obama because he was the first black man. I mean, among other things, the historic significance for an old civil rights activist to see a black man competing for the highest office in the land was a historic opportunity that was very difficult to pass over. Now, the question is whether it works this time, whether it works for the first female. It was, to me, bitterly ironic that she was the person in line to be the first historic first, the first female, and she was knocked out of the box by the first black man. Now, will people say, oh, it's finally her time? Or will it be like John McCain? When it came his time, everyone said, oh, now he's too old. He should have been 2000, not 2008. It's 48 minutes after 10 o'clock. After these short messages, we shall return to your phone calls at 866-HERALDO. Joe LoTemplio joins us right now from the upstate Plattsburgh Press-Republican. He's our ace reporter on the job, a 30-year veteran. Something is going on relating to the great escape of the two inmates. What is it, mate? What's going on?
Well, this morning, Joyce Mitchell had another appearance in Plattsburgh City Court. The main focus for this was her attorney, Keith Bruno, who represented her Friday night at the arraignment, had to step aside due to a conflict of interest in this case, although that wasn't specified exactly what it was. And he was replaced by another local attorney named Stephen Johnston, and he waived preliminary hearing on the felony charge, and it is now being transferred to Clinton County Court.
Joe, let me ask you this. How is the community reacting to, the New York tabloids calling Joyce Mitchell sure skank redemption?
I'll tell you what. She's not real popular around here. A lot of people obviously are not looking at her with favor. It's going on. This is day 10 now. We're in the double digits, and everybody's getting sick of this. And if they need someone to blame, she's at the top of the list.
But how do they feel the fact that, as I said, Friday night live on Hannity, there's no earthly idea where these guys are?
Yeah, the feeling that they're probably long gone is getting more and more popular around here. A lot of people just find it hard to believe that 800 law enforcement officers can't close in on a small area like that.
So how long is the feeling that they'll keep the intensity of this search going on?
State police claim they'll do it until they're thoroughly satisfied that the area has been swept clean, but who knows how that's going. I'm guessing at least another week or so.
Do you think someone could live off the land that long? I'm just curious.
I think it would be extremely difficult.
Extremely difficult to live on berries and worms.
Yeah, well, supposedly they brought food with them from the prison commissary, but who knows?
Who knows? Joe LoTemplio.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words saying, only the echoes of my mind. People stop and stare. I can't see their faces, only the shadows of their eyes.
Harry Nilsson's birthday. I once tried to buy his house in Nyack. Beautiful house. He had gone to the West Coast, where he was hanging out with John Lennon, who was kind of in exile. I tried to buy his house. Instead, Cece and I bought a house in Monmouth County. Just changed history there. Someone bid on it that morning, and I bid on it in the afternoon, and it was gone.
Huh.
Great singer, though. Well, at least it's a great song.
Can you name another song by him? I don't know.
That's a very good question. I was just, like, struggling.
He's not like a one-hit wonder, is he?
No, no, no.
Oh, okay. I don't know who he is, to be honest. Can't Live. Oh, right.
Can't Live.
I know that song. Okay.
We're in that.
I can't live without you.
Yeah. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Geraldo.
How are you? So I'm saying Hillary is virtually unbeatable unless the GOP can point out how much all of these various programs that she mentioned, family leave and so forth, will cost the American taxpayer. What say you?
Well, first of all, you may remember William Safire, who was the New York Times token conservative columnist.
Right, and a great historian, yep.
Wonderful. And many years ago, he referred to Hillary, or described her, as a congenital liar. And unfortunately, I feel that most people only have one source of information, even about Hillary or about a lot of other things. And if you have one source of information, it may be wrong. It may be the New York Times today, which is, you know, quite liberal and goes along with anything that our president says. But the fact that she was described as a congenital liar really hit me. I remembered it very well.
But what specifically, given that, and I remember it as well, given that, what do you think really rubs people wrong in terms of her lack of truthfulness alleged? What specific issue is foremost, Ellen, in your mind?
Well, today she's lied about emails. She's lied about so many things. I can't keep it all in my mind at this point, but I read it in the New York Post. they list them all.
They list them all on a regular basis. I don't know. I think about it. I appreciate your call. You know, I think about what are the lies. Okay, Benghazi is the one that jumps out at you. I believe Benghazi is a phony issue. I believe that it was an attack that maybe we should have known was coming. It was a failure of intelligence. But it was a lie told about her, that or at least about the United States and about the United States military, that we could have intervened to save those lives, and we did not. That was a lie. That was the central charge and the damning charge. That is the cancer at the center of the Benghazi crisis or controversy. Having disproven that point, I think that Benghazi is a non-issue. The emails. Do you really stay up night worrying about Hillary Clinton's private emails? I don't. The Clinton Foundation, which is the most potent of all of the potential controversies, I say that unless they can prove criminality, there's nothing there. So her husband's charitable foundation was raking in hundreds of millions of dollars from entities, either corporate or national entities, that stood to benefit by certain decisions she made in her official capacity as Secretary of State. That fact alone is not an issue. It's not a controversy. It may be distasteful, but unless you can prove a quid pro quo, unless you can prove that she did something as Secretary of State because XYZ gave money to her husband's charitable foundation, there's nothing there either. It will come down, mark my words, to whether or not you can take Hillary Clinton for 4 years dominating the media. Can you watch her for 4 years and handle that? Or you say to yourself, oh, my God, am I going to be lectured by a school marm? You know, every time something goes wrong, am I going to be told that I've got to be more charitable, or I've got to be more open-minded, or I have to welcome this person or that person, or this, am I going to basically be scolded for 4 years? I already have a wife and mother. I think that that's going to be what people will vote on. Women will say it's about time a woman was in charge, and look how far we've come, and look how awful it was. We barely got the right to vote, for God's sakes, 100 years ago or less. And now, we've grudgingly, even the school was still getting paid 80% of what you get paid, you male chauvinist pig. We're still getting raped on campus in the military, you chauvinist pig. women will be motivated. Will men be as motivated? Will the urge by women to really even the score and complete this cycle, will that be more energizing to that constituency than the opposite, the negative? Oh, my God, I can't stand that I'm going to be, you know, talked down to or lectured or scolded for 4 years. I think that it's going to be because of that, unless there's something else that comes that nobody knows, of course, and there will be. There will definitely be something, you know, some shad is going to come down somehow. Can I say that? That was,
yeah.
I think that it's going to be, speaking of shad, here's Jim in Hillside. What's up?
Yeah, Waldo, how can you stand up there and lie? Now, the Clintons, right, they knew about Bin Laden, right? He didn't do nothing with that. They killed Foster, right? Okay? She said, what difference does it make when they were questioning her about...
What motivated the attack on Benghazi?
Yeah.
Vince Foster was an assistant to the Clintons in the White House who killed himself in D.C. It's been thoroughly talked about a million times. People yawn. It was over 20 years ago, but go ahead.
Yeah, okay. There's so much going on with them people.
But see, you're exactly the person I was just talking about. You're disgusted by her. And for a lot of good reasons, some good reasons, some not so good. And other people are so enamored of the fact, and even your disgust, Jim, will motivate some people I know to get out and vote that might not ordinarily vote for her.
Listen to this, Geraldo. This keeps going like this, where they keep voting for a communist, a person that's a traitor to the country. There's going to be a revolution. You know, so I'm not rich. I'm not rich, but I'm not against rich people like they are. And I think it's a flim-flam what they're doing. Obama's saying that, you know, like the poor people, he hasn't done nothing for the blacks. And the whole bit.
Jim, I got to let you go. I appreciate the call. Everybody welcome here, ladies and gentlemen. 866-HERALDO. My friend Gretchen Carlson, Miss America. My colleague at Fox News will be joining me with a new book right after this.
We announce our first runner-up. It is Maya Walker, Miss Colorado. Miss America is Gretchen Carlson, Miss Minnesota.
There she is. Miss America, my friend and colleague, winning the big title back in 1989. Smart. Talented, gorgeous. So Gretchen has written a new book, great book, her autobiography, Getting Real. The first question she gets asked as Miss America coming to New York and she faces the New York Press Corps for the first time, guess what the first question is?
What?
Have you had sex yet?
Come on.
Or are you waiting for marriage? Remember Penny Crone? Anyway, enough about Penny Crone. We welcome Gretchen live on the hotline. Hi, Gretchen. Congratulations on the book.
Geraldo, thank you so much. I know, only in New York. Right?
Only in New York. Only in New York. So, but, you know but it's funny how you laugh at it, though.
Yeah, well, I laugh at it now, but really it was a takedown of women in general, and that's kind of one of the messages in my book, that we need to stand up and fight and be more respected and... you know, why would anyone want to take down a woman who had just accomplished something? Well, she did it just because. And really, we shouldn't have to stand for that.
So Gretchen Carlson, my guest, Getting Real, her brand new terrific read, her autobiography. Here, I'll read a bit. I like to joke that when I joined Fox News, I hit the bimbo trifecta. Former Miss America, blonde, Fox News host. I say that with tongue in cheek, but I may have achieved the Google record for being called dumb or a bimbo. I can joke about it, because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that the characterization has more to do with silly attitudes and stereotypes than with who I am or whether or not I am smart. So there you go, and you take it on. You know, so what about that characterization? And what about the comparison that here it still exists to an extent?
Yep.
And that you even talk about how they say, how can you consider yourself a Christian woman with that kind of cleavage? You know, so So how do you deal with it? How do you balance, you know, obviously you're an attractive modern woman with this attitude?
Well, and funny enough, the next email after that one from Ethel about cleavage is from Bob saying, wear that dress every day.
that's our side, our team. We do that.
I have to tell you, I developed very thick skin after becoming Miss America, after we just talked about that first press conference. And it was really a shock to me that my resume would basically evaporate. You know, that I had gone to Stanford and I'd been really successful on the violin and a bunch of other stuff, and then suddenly I was just dumb, and I was a bimbo. So then when I got to Fox, I coined the phrase bimbo trifecta, because that was sort of the third thing after being blonde, Miss America, and Fox. And you know how it is, Geraldo, here. I mean, it's there's almost like there's a problem in some shape or form with women at Fox, because if you don't agree with some of the opinions or the way in which we're covering the news, it's just a lot easier to call them dumb blondes.
That, I'm glad you hit on that point, because I absolutely, totally agree with you. But do you think that we feed into it by the fact that, you know, our the females at Fox tend to be drop-dead gorgeous like yourself?
Well, let me tell you something. What else I talk about in the book is that I grew up a fat kid. So I struggle with my weight still to this day. That's just the honest to God truth. I come from 100% Swedish stock. My mom used to remind me that my great grandmother's legs started at a certain width at the top, and they were the same width down at the bottom. So I, you know, I was a fat kid. I endured the taunting and the teasing, and finally, you know, I decided to lose the weight. But here's the lesson that I learned from that, and this is why the book should be inspiring to all young women, is that I built my self-esteem from the inside out, and I didn't give a rip about the outside. And kids today have even more to contend with than I did with social media and all the vile comments that are made. So the lesson here is, yeah, I ended up losing the weight, and I ended up becoming Miss America, but I still struggle with this every day. And I'm just like every other person out there. You know how it is. Sometimes people think TV personalities don't have any problems. Well, my book, I share a bunch of stuff for the first time. I got fired, you know, week after I got married, Geraldo, and then I was told that I'd be okay because I had a husband. Toughest year of my life, having to come back. I had a life-threatening stalker for 4 years. I've never, ever shared this story. I had infertility problems. Our first child was born with a tumor in her eye. You know, I've struggled a lot, and I have great empathy for people who have also experienced pain in their life.
That's fabulous. It's a really touching story, getting real. But here, I want to go back to, here's Gretchen's violin performance at the Miss America pageant. Damn, girlfriend, you can play that thing.
Well, thank you, Geraldo.
That's
great.
That's
a lot of hours. A lot of hours of practice as a kid. But, you know, that ended up not being my career, and that's how I ended up at Miss America, because 50% of your points are based on talent. And when I had quit at 17, my parents were devastated. And my mom got a brochure in the mail, true story. You know, it said 50% Miss America. She called me up at Stanford. She said, I found something for you to try. And I said, no way. But, you know, things work in mysterious ways, and so does life.
So how did you meet Carrie, Casey?
I met him.
Casey Close, you're a hugely successful baseball agent, himself a great ball player in college. How'd you meet?
Yeah, we met on a blind date in Cleveland, of all places.
And my wife's hometown. Erica's hometown.
Yeah, that's right. And I was on a bus with the Dog Pound, which are the rabid Cleveland Brown fans, when Art Modell.
I remember.
And so in the background, on the cell phone, the first time I talked to him as a potential date, he's like, where are you? I'm like, I'm with the Dog Pound on a bus going to Pittsburgh to protest the Browns leaving Cleveland. He's like, do you like sports? I'm like, yeah, I love sports. He's like, when can you go out?
That's fabulous.
So we don't fight over the remote control.
Was Michelle Bachmann really your nanny, or is that like a joke?
She's my babysitter.
No way.
Yeah, she's going to be on my show today.
The hard, conservative former congresswoman was Gretchen Carlson's nanny. I think that's fabulous.
We're from the same hometown, and she is 10 years older than I am, although she doesn't look it. She looks amazing. And, yeah, you know, she was the greatest babysitter, Geraldo, because she let me drink grape soda and eat all the donuts that I wanted.
That's my fear when I leave the kid with a baby. Stay away from the donuts. You're terrific, Gretchen. Your show is on every afternoon at 2 o'clock. The Real Story with Gretchen Carlson on my Fox News channel, 2 p.m. Eastern. The book is Getting Real. I wish you the best with it, sweetheart, really.
Thank you, Geraldo. It's a great read. For more info, and I really love you, Geraldo. Thank you so
much. Okay, I'll see you around. I'll see you around the shop.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to go back to Hillary. Oh, I should have asked Gretchen about Hillary. Damn. I didn't have a chance. I'm going to go back to Hillary Clinton in a minute. I'm so upset about Game of Thrones. I mean, I should have expected as much from reading the books, and you read the books, and they're so circular. Just when you get a storyline that you can really get behind, or at last you're going to have some kind of reasonable, conclusion here. We're going to go on, and then the guy that you're invested in or the lady you're invested in gets raped or tortured or murdered, and they burn this child at the stake last week.
And you're only like...
They're raping every woman that walks.
And you're only like three episodes into the series, so it's like you've lost this great character.
Great character.
And you still have like 15 more episodes to go.
And the only it's not in the book, but the one provocative, I don't know, I'm probably boring a lot of people that don't watch this HBO series, Game of Thrones, but, the only intriguing thing now is that all these dead heroes that we've seen like get resurrected as white warriors fight for the bad guys as dead people, the dead against the living. Anyway, it's just a very... My wife has gotten me into these Netflix shows. There's one called The Fall. Have you heard about that one?
I haven't seen that.
Anyway, it's about a serial killer in Belfast, Ireland. But here's Netflix. I mean, what an idea. All of my life, I've worked for a network. You know, you have ABC, CBS, NBC, and then you get... And that was amazing because they had huge investments in studios and transmitters and all the rest of it. And then they went to satellite and then HD and all the rest. And then you had all the cable come in. Excuse me. All the cable stuff come in. And now here are studios producing shows and putting them right on the internet. So all of the investment you made in HBO or in the cables or in the studios, it just... It's valueless. Having a spot on the dial, the value of it used to be the only way you got programming. Now you get it everywhere.
Yeah.
You get on your... imagine a show being produced for the internet. Who would have ever figured that? And having a following. And people...
Huge following.
Huge following.
Like Orange is the New Black just let out its new episodes last week, and people were binge-watching all weekend. To watch, I think they put 6 or 8 episodes up.
And that's the glory of it, too. The glory of it is you don't have to sit through commercials. You don't even have to wait for next week.
No.
You could sit and do it all in one night.
Yeah.
I mean, all you got to do is buy it. The whole system all at once. And that whole binge-watching thing has changed, I think, a lot of social... Like me, I never watch television. If it's not a movie or news, I never watch because I can't stand the commercials half the time.
Yeah.
And they're so, and how do you, following the storyline, and then the commercial comes, takes you in a different direction, whatever it is, and then they pick up the story, and you've got to be very patient to get 40 minutes or 45 minutes of viewing substance every 60 minutes on the air. Now, you watch the whole thing, and you could do it all together, and it's changing lives. In the same way Uber is changing the taxi, and it's totally disrupting what was during our day. It's very, very fascinating.
You know, and what's interesting too is sports TV now, because that's the only live event left that you have to watch in real time. Otherwise, you find out the score. You know, you can't watch it the next morning. And that's why it garners so many dollars, because they know you have eyeballs at that exact moment who are watching it live.
Look at award show, though. You're absolutely right about sports, because sports, you've got to watch it. I mean, and if you know the ending... It's unwatchable, really.
Yeah.
If you know how it ends, that's all you want to know is how it ends, particularly with sports betting, etc. Awards show are like that also, that you can't get... although that's not true. You can get an almost instantaneous, recording or reporting on who won. Oh, Joe Schmo won.
Yeah, they're tweeting it out the second
actor.
It happens.
But the drama of waiting and the winner is... I think they could live stream award shows also and do away if you have to subscribe. You want to know, like pay-per-view boxing. If you want to know who wins the Oscars, we'll stream it for you. No commercials. A totally different approach to how you do it. I just think that who knows what's next. I mean, soon they're going to implant these shows in your brain.
Yeah, well, even the way people listen to us. I mean, I have so many people who tell me that they listen to us at like 7 o'clock at night while they're working out.
Oh, my mom in Sarasota's listening.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
Hello, Mom.
Hi, Ma. Hi, Ma. How you doing?
Hope you're feeling good.
Me too, sweetheart. I'm going to see you soon, I promise. Got to get down there. So, anyway, I want to save a little time because our colleague Curtis Sliwa marched in the Puerto Rican Day Parade. Now, not an ounce of Puerto Rican in him, but that's okay. All the politicians falling over each other to get in on the action. It's the best place to have all those Puerto Rican voters and fans in one place. So there it is. I have no particular contingent to walk with. And remember, I had to get home to get to the baby shower in Edgewood, or Erica would have, perpetually banned me with 50 people coming to the house, most of whom she didn't know, from Lauren McCormick's family, from the mom's family. So it was, I had to leave. But there, I turn around, and who's there? With the smallest, dopiest little contingent, there's Curtis with his son, adorable son, the 11, 12-year-old.
Anthony Chester.
Anthony. So Anthony's walking with the beret, and they got like four other, and they come walking by just like their own little parade. Just keeps walking. They keep walk right past me, right past the police honor guard, right past the horses, and they keep walking down up Fifth Avenue.
To like the front of the line, right? He wants to be the first thing people see.
But I wonder if they're just like, who are those
guys?
But
I heard you did something, so he's mad about this. So.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, there's something you did. I'm not even going to tell you. I'll let you tell.
Let him tell us after this. It was a blast. They say 1.5 million people lining both sides of Fifth Avenue. Not a single incident, as far as I know. Not like at the Waldorf, but that guy almost shot his balls off. Guns, we need guns like a hole in the head. Curtis Sliwa marched in an unusual contingent that he headed up. It was really Anthony's parade, his son. But Curtis was in the lead.
Well, I had to. I bogart the parade every year because they put us in the back with the sanitation guys and the pooper scoopers, because we're persona non grata.
So you march anyway.
Yeah. No, we always lead. And who bogarted us this year? Oh, Geraldo Rivera there. I said, how can you do this, Geraldo? This is what we do every year. Because if we slow down, then the cops realize, hey, you guys aren't on the list here. You're not supposed to be leading the parade. And there he was, hugging me, and I'm saying, let go of me, Geraldo. We've got to get going, or they're gonna pinch us and throw us out of the line of march.
See, unlike you, I am welcome.
Yes. Oh,
I am welcome. And I must say, there's a connection that I feel, seriously, that is extraordinary with those people. And it's a small enough community. I mean, there's 800,000 Puerto Ricans, but I think I know them all. Not the youngest ones anymore, but certainly the moms and the... from anyone 25, 30 years and up, they know me for so many years that I'm part of their lives. But they know you too, Curtis.
Oh, yeah. Well, and they still think I'm Puerto Rican.
And they said, we all think you're still Puerto Rican.
Curtis Silva,
Puerto Rican.
And by the way, to show you what a schmuck and a putz Comrade Bill de Blasio is, your mayor, Geraldo, all of a sudden, he's going from the side to side, and he jumps into a crowd, and they're Latin kings throwing him the king sign, and he thinks that that's a sign of appreciation for
the
gangbanger. Yeah. So all what is wrong with
here from Fox 5. Here, listen from Fox 5. That parade. I love that parade.
And who's reporting from Fox 5? The local affiliate.
Tito Puente's daughter.
Yeah, Tito Puente's daughter. And Lisa Evers.
You can see her ex-wife.
And Lisa, no wonder you don't get mentioned.
That's right. See this? And Oscar.
She's looking pretty good.
There's my ex-husband. I saw her. She looks great, doesn't she? So do you ever speak publicly with your ex? I mean, I hate to go off on a tangent.
No, none of my exes.
None of
nothing,
them.
Nothing to say to them because they have nothing nice to say about me. But I want to tell you this.
Because you're a chiseler. I mean, you don't give them what they
do. What do you mean? They get my plasma. They don't just get my blood. They get my plasma, Geraldo. And by the way, this parade yesterday was like a tribute to Oscar Rivera, the FALN terrorist.
Yeah.
Melissa, Viva Libra Puerto Rico, that proud, free Oscar.
I think that he has served 37 years.
Is he repentant? Did he say he was sorry?
But this is about Oscar Lopez Rivera. His movement is so irrelevant now that he's like a silly old...
Yeah, but wait a second. But not to Charlene. Remember, Charlene said, 1977, what a vintage year was. She was like Margot Thomas, you know. And she said, 1977, the FALN was setting off bombs in New York City. What is wrong with this woman?
Still, 37 years. I think the vast majority of Puerto Ricans think 37 years of a hard time.
And how come Madam Hillary Rodham Clinton conveniently missed marching in the parade? She didn't want to be attached to that.
Where was Andrew Cuomo? Did you see him?
Well, he's up there. Which way did they go? Which way did they go? Which way did they go? Which way did they go?
I say that he invested so much credibility in the search and the imminent capture of the two killers on the lam that he should bear some responsibility.
Oh, he was so sure of himself. Remember, he was joking about it. Like, hey we'll pinch these guys in no time. Hey, Andrew, Elias Cuomo, where are they? In Mexico.
I'll see you at the parade next year, and I'll see you on the air right here. 77 WABC, Curtis and Kubi are next. Thank you. Muchísimas gracias. Hasta mañana.